Praise the Lord. Well, you're ready for 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Well, that was a good service so far, a good praise service, a good time worshiping. I love that, the Holy Ghost, you know, people get into the Spirit, and it's not your average, we're not your average church. Thank God. We want to be supernatural, super ordinary. Glory to God. Well, I heard snow is coming, but that's inevitable. It's coming, whether we like it or not. The Bible says winter and snow and fall, part of the process. But you can go to your scriptures, and we got a number of things. Sorry, guys, I don't have any notes for you tonight. I didn't get it on any data apparatus to send you. I didn't have it on my this stuff at least. So I've been working very slowly to get all my material on one source, and so I could just get pass it around. So a lot of times I just have all my information. So I'm just going to leave my wallet here. So maybe you can take care of it. My wife is not here.
Chicken fund.
Praise the Lord. Well, go to 1 Corinthians chapter, we had a number of weeks. This is actually our third week on the subject, and I kind of jumped around as I was led of the Spirit, and I was having a harder time today trying to be focused in terms of what I should do. And there is a second part to last week's message, and on the word of knowledge, and we might find ourselves in that. And we were supposed to go into the word of word of wisdom, so we'll get into that, and we'll continue to move back and forth. So 1 Corinthians 12 and 8 says in there, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. So as we said last time, the church needs to have a knowledge of how God will operate and wants to operate among us. And he has given us his Spirit to be our helper. I was thinking about the comment made earlier, and somebody made a comment that kind of reminded me, and that is Jesus said in John 16:33, or is it 16:14-26, that, you know, we talked about that on Sunday, I believe. He says, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And he went on to explain some things, but I think in verse 27, he talks about the same thing. He says, thy peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Not as the world give I to you. So this kind of peace that we enjoy, or we're supposed to enjoy, you don't get it from the world.
Amen.
You can't get this kind of joy from the world.
Amen.
You know, you can't get this kind of peace from the world. So the kind of joy we had, you know, I can dance and jump and have a great time, and I don't have any effects afterwards. But it breaks. Whatever is happening in your life, if you begin to act on the Word and start acting like God's Word is true, get excited about the Word, then the Word of God is going to work for you. No matter what you feel. It's easy to sing songs in church, and easy to jump around when the anointing is there. But you ought to jump before anything happens. And that's where the real freedom is. You know, so we need to operate in the supernatural, and thank God, because there's so many scriptures that tell us that we walk by faith and not by sight. And what Pastor Dave is referring to, that, you know, the walls of Jericho, you know, the walls of Jericho, it was actually not a big city. Not a huge city. If you study, the city was in really huge. They built these walls so that when something happens, people can run in there and can hide from the enemy. Outside, people live outside the city as well. So just a different concept of a city as we understand them today. And in that time when in the scripture speaks about it, and in Joshua chapter 6, where it says the city was shut up because of the children of Israel. Nobody went out. Nobody came in because they were there. The Israelites were there. They had heard, these people had heard what happened to the other nations when Israel showed up.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. They got a God. How many people know that when you show up, God knows about you? Amen. I mean, some of you might not realize this yet. And might not dawn on you, but the devil is more afraid of you than you are him. And he wants you to think that he's bigger than he says he is. And he's not all that what it's cut up to be, in the sense that Jesus destroyed him. The Bible says that Jesus, in Colossians, I believe it's 3:16 or 15 there, that Jesus spoiled principalities. That word spoiled, it means that he paralyzed him, reduced him to nothing. As far as you being in Christ is concerned, that he can't do anything to you unless you unknowingly allow him in your life or you give yourself over to him. And sometimes people wander off because they're weak in some area. How many of you have a weakness in an area? Yeah, we all have them. And you all have weakness in some areas. Maybe something in your family has been following you all along. But the devil knows how to get to you. He pushed different buttons so you can start crying. And start complaining. And so anyway, as far as that wall was concerned, they had you know, a certain amount of information. But that information didn't come out of Genesis 15 or Exodus 4 or whatever. It didn't come out of there. They had to get the word of the Lord, and they had to get that from the Spirit of God. Amen. To give them that plan how to be free. Amen. I know some of you have things that you're working on. It might not be right now. It might not be, critical, or it might not be an emergency, but it can be if you don't do something about it sooner or later, because the enemy is going to come and work at you, chip at you for a moment of time, and you have to prepare yourself. And that's why I tell people, you have to build yourself up and be strengthened, and because you know how to act when the devil shows up, and not cry and complain. Amen. So the Bible says that we believe that we receive. When you pray, you know, when the Bible says, when you pray, believe that you receive. He didn't say, when you pray, try to believe. When you pray, try to beg God as much as you can. Amen? Try to cry as loud as you can and try to manipulate him as much as you can. Cry hard. No, it doesn't say that. It says when you pray, believe.
Amen.
It's so simple, and yet we mix a lot of stuff up because we don't believe like we should.
Right.
And we need to grow up.
Amen.
Amen. And so is it hard to grow up? You better believe it. Is it hard to have a good testimony? That's why, you know, when they called the, when you said the fight, the good fight of faith, he's not talking about you and the devil fighting. It's talking about you dealing with your soul and dealing with your mind, dealing with your feelings, because there's so much circumstances that you can see in front of you. And we talked about Sunday, your mind, your thinking is if it's wrong. Because if your thinking is wrong, you're gonna feel wrong and believe wrong.
That's right.
And that's why we have to look at everything by faith. And so the walls of Jericho fell down, and they didn't shout because the walls fell down. They shouted before the walls. Before the walls fell down, they shouted by faith. See, they had to walk by faith over there too, just like we do here. So what a silly thing. Can you run around go around here once a day for 7 days, for 6 days, 7 days, go around seven times, and then we're going to blow a horn over here, a couple of horns or whatever, whatever. And then the walls are going to fall down, and you run in there. And then sometimes people can't believe God. God says, you want money? I want you to sow $100. I don't have $100. Yeah, go ahead. And then we can't do something so simple. When God wants a breakthrough in your life, He's giving you something so simple, and yet you don't even believe it.
Amen.
I can tell people are way off right now because, you know, you have to understand, we're talking faith language. So we shout while the walls are up. So you shout and thank God while you're having the trouble.
Amen.
And then you smile. Some of you look mad at me. Yeah, serious. So, you know, when you have faith, when there's faith involved, there's joy. When you have faith, there's joy involved. And when you have faith, there's peace. So look at yourself today and see how you acted around. If you weren't acting nice, you know, then you're not, you better check yourself out. Because you'll be the same way 10 years' time, 20 years' time, maybe even backwards. So thank God we can find out little simple things about our own lives. I know I had to check myself many, many times and make sure that I'm doing what I'm said I'm going to do. So anyway, did you find 1 Corinthians chapter 14, or at least chapter, let's go to verse 12 first. And we're going to look at a couple of things before we end our night. We kind of dance half the night and talk stuff. But how many people, talking sometimes helps bring things in perspective. So we're not just talking, this would kill time. So 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse, let's go look at this verse again. And I want to go to a few more extra scriptures. I want to talk about the distinction between the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom and look at a few scriptures. 1 Corinthians 12, people, I'm trying to move around here quickly. Concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. So we're talking about spiritual gifts. concerning the spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Now, he's writing in response to the questions these people had of him. There was some correspondence going on, and God's given us this part of his response to the people that they had some questions. And did you know that the problems that, you know, the only instructions was given about the, when you talk about the 12 gifts, or the 9 gifts, excuse me, of the Spirit, 12 gifts, the only instructions were given was for prophecy and tongues, the utterance gifts. Because those were the gifts that was giving people trouble, because you cannot fake a miracle. They don't give you, he doesn't give you any instruction how to do a miracle. Okay, you have to shout loud and you know, whatever. They don't give you any 1-2-3 formula. But if you notice in these scriptures, he gives you a lot of instructions about prophecy and so on. So he said, now concerning spiritual gifts, I would not have you ignorant. So we said, according to what Paul said, God does not want to be in the dark concerning these gifts. So the major problem about why we're not seeing gifts operating in individuals, people's lives, and in churches is because people are not teaching on it. Amen. The only way to destroy ignorance and unbelief is give people the word. Let the word speak for itself and don't argue about the word. Just say, here's what the word says, and let the people do what they want with it. So you read it, study it, And that settles it. Because the moment you get the word, that word seed empowers you to do whatever. It has life in the word, right? So God does not want to be wants us to be ignorant. Verse 2 reveals to us that they were people outside of the outside. The Gentiles were not Jews, and they didn't have the covenant like the Jews did. They didn't have Moses and the prophets. They had this man called Paul, an apostle. So he was coming and talking to them. He said, "You were carried away with these dumb idols, even as you're led. I give you to understand that no man speaks by the Spirit of God, calls Jesus a curse, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost." What is he saying? He's saying there that in this particular situation, these people had other spiritual things going on in their lives, maybe issues as well. So not everything supernatural is God, as we mentioned before, because you can be mixed up. For instance, and some of the things that I was growing up with and that I know for sure, not just growing up, but now in this day, working in offices concerning my nation. Because we can have activities and we can have supernatural occurrences in certain things, in certain areas. I remember when I was working for a child welfare agency, and one of our workers lost his wife, committed suicide. And she jumped in the water, in the ice water, and went into the ice, and they couldn't locate her. And she just went in the ice, one of our First Nations community. This is my time working in the field of social work. And so this gentleman was concerned, I guess, about finding his wife and could not locate her, so they called for a ceremony, and one of the ceremonies they performed had the ceremony, and I'm referring to it because they said you were with these dumb idols, and these guys were messing with the information and different things going on. Back in those days, they had occultic stuff. Manifestations of different spirits as well, giving them information. So anyway, when the Spirit of God is going to work, he's always going to bring peace and release in people's lives. So anyway, they called this guy. He performed a ceremony. They brought him from another place, not from this region, and told him exactly the spirits that was involved in that situation, told him exactly where they would locate his wife. And in the springtime, and sure enough, they went and found where the wife was. Now, this was supernatural information that was given to these people, but this was not God. This was spiritual activity that wasn't from God. And some of these spirits deceive people because they give information. They know certain things, know certain facts about. In fact, they know certain things about you. Some people possessed with devils can tell you information because they have familiar spirits. Familiar, that is, with you and your family. Because they say something like, "I'm grandpa." Grandpa's dead. And when somebody dies, you cannot contact their spirits. Amen. Bible teaches us very clear. Jesus said, when someone departs and goes to the other side, their spirit can never talk to you ever again. Neither can you talk to them. So anybody in here messing with that kind of stuff, this is not of God. You can get mad at me, whatever you want, but argue with the Bible. And we've been there. We've seen it happen. And so just because it's supernatural and information that's seemingly accurate doesn't mean it's God. Amen? Amen. So we want to stick with the scriptures and be free and be liberated by God. The Spirit of God will always glorify Jesus. Like somebody said, if someone is filled with the Holy Ghost, he's not going to go rob a bank. How come when someone has a spiritual manifestation, it's always some negative thing? Why don't some of these people if they're full of the Spirit, why don't they just go and do wonderful things, like save people? If they're, you know, they always do crazy things. But anyway, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit, and so forth. Difference in administration, but the same Lord. Diversities of operation, but the same God, which works all in all. But the manifestation, and so we call these what we call gifts, manifestation. In other words, this is how God manifests himself through people. So I want us to check out here. Go to Roman, or we're in, let's go to 1 Corinthians, we're in 12, go to 14 here. 14 chapter. He says, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts. So we see the word gifts again. The word gifts is italicized in the King James because it was added by the translators thinking that it would help us. But they kind of hindered us because now we're just thinking about gifts. If you read the chapter, it's not just talking about gifts. It's talking about a lot of other things other than gifts. So he says, but rather that you prophesy, for he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men. And that's why he's saying that there, because if you're going to do anything in the church for people, your individual tongues is not going to do anybody any good unless you prophesy, or unless there's another somebody who can give an interpretation. Okay, so you can't just pray in tongues and say, I'm going to build up my sister over here. I'm going to pray in tongues for an hour. She just sit there and look at me all day long. It's not going to help her unless maybe I just put my hands on her. You know, and help her out a little bit and transfer some of that anointing. So here, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. In 1 Corinthians 12:7, so it's given to profit us. So in 1 Corinthians 14, he says, rather that you prophesy, for he that speaks unknown tongue speaks not unto men but unto God, for no man understands him. Howbeit, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. The word mysteries is hidden truth, things that are not obvious to our normal senses or natural senses. When you speak in tongues, you don't understand what you're saying unless you ask God to interpret, and you can ask God to interpret. He may or may not give you an interpretation if you don't need it. And whatever you're led, whatever you have a problem with today, and it's baffling you, you ought to start praying in tongues over that area. Say, Father, by faith in the name of Jesus, I'm praying over this thing that's baffling me. I don't have an answer. I've done all I could. I've read all the books. I talked to all the people. I got the education, did whatever. I don't know how to solve this. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, your word says first in Romans 8 that if I pray in tongues, that the perfect will is going to be manifested in this situation. So you pray the perfect will of God for that situation by speaking in tongues, because the Holy Spirit is speaking through you to bring the manifest that perfect will. So there's a manifestation of these gifts, and we divided them up. We talked about three areas of them: revelation gifts. We spoke about the revelation gifts. We talked a little bit about the discerning of spirit. We haven't finished it all. And we talked about the word of knowledge yesterday, and we want to talk about the second part, word of knowledge, and then go into the word of wisdom. So this is the gifts of the Spirit, as we're talking about. There's vocal gifts, which is prophecy, tongues, and interpretation. Tongues with interpretation equals prophecy. The best gifts of the vocal gifts is prophecy. Prophecy, the simple gift of prophecy is very simple, which means it's only given to edify the people, to bless the people with something nice, say something nice to people. You know, it has no revelation in it. I'm talking about the simple gift of prophecy. When you get into revelation, you're either going into a word of wisdom and a word of knowledge. So the word of knowledge, in distinction from the word of wisdom, the word of wisdom, or let's say the word of knowledge, we talked about the first time, yesterday, last time. The word of knowledge is concerns with people, things, and events concerning present past. The word of wisdom always concerns itself with the will or the mind of God concerning people, events, things, places in the future. We're going to see that when we begin to study, look at the scriptures. The gifts of the Spirit will always manifest to bless people, as we saw earlier. So, say, we'll look at some of these scriptures, and so I just want to just mention some things here before get away from me. The reason why we don't have these gifts is people not getting into the Spirit enough. And that we read 1 Corinthians 14:1, follow after charity, but desire, the word desire, means to hunger after, to seek after, to thirst after. If you're not hungry for spiritual gifts or spiritual encounter with God and the spiritual things with God, in a sense, if you can understand this, people who are sick physically do not seek physical food. They don't even want to drink water. People who are really sick don't even want to drink water. They're so sick they can't even drink that water. I don't know. I've been into a lot of bedsides in my time as a pastor where people are dying. They don't want to even drink water. They can't even eat. So you have to self-diagnose yourself whether you're sick spiritually yourself. And you can ask yourself and ascertain from your perspective whether or not you are ill spiritually, because you do not seek spiritual things that concern God. Number one, you don't pray in tongues. If you're a charismatic, you don't pray in tongues very much. You only pray in tongues when you're sitting in church or when everybody else is doing it. And the reason why people are not getting spiritual manifestations, because they don't pray enough in the Spirit. Are you listening to me? I listened to Brother Hagin for 70-some-odd years, this man. He said, every time I had a manifestation got into the Spirit, I prayed in tongues. No, notice this. It says here, follow after charity, desire spiritual gifts. By the way, the word spiritual gift, the word gifts is not there. The word spiritual means, the word spirituals means the things that are of the Holy Spirit and pertain to the Holy Spirit. So desire the Holy Spirit and anything He would give you or whatever, things of the Spirit. And rather that you prophesy, he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men but unto God. So no man understands him, how be it or however, when you pray in tongues, in the Spirit, you speak mysteries. So when you pray in tongues, you're not talking to anybody normal, human. You're talking to God. You're having a conversation. Your spirit, 1 Corinthians 14:14, the Amplified says, when I pray in the Spirit, my spirit is talking to God, and God is talking to me. Like, I can do it. I can pray in tongues anytime I want to. I prayed in tongues most of the day today. I pray in tongues regularly. I go for a walk. I drive around town speaking in tongues. I'm in the bank. I'm speaking in tongues. I go to Walmart. I'm speaking in tongues. Now, I get distracted with my mind. I see a pretty lady. I say, whoo. It distracts me. I drive by a pizza. Oh. It distracts me. Your mind will distract you. So I go in the bush. I walk sometimes in the bush. And it just seems like a few minutes. And so that's why people close their eyes, right? So we need to pray in tongues more. Notice it says that we should seek after spiritual gifts. Remember, this letter is not written to Joe Smith of Corinth. This letter is written to all the church members. So it's not enough for a pastor or a few of the leaders desire spiritual gifts. If you're sitting there like this, when is the service over? This is so silly. You are a hindrance major. You are grieving the Holy Spirit. If you didn't have time to come to church, why don't you just stay home? For that, because, you know, it bothers God. So thank God that you're here, but at least you're getting something, but don't be a hindrance. Amen. So we need to see that we can affect things. It grieves God in some areas. So it says desire the gifts, hunger after, like really hunger after the things of the Spirit. So when we come, we need to say, man, I can't wait for we all start singing, man. The glory of God is going to come. I mean, anybody can jump up and get healed right now. I mean, what if somebody just jumps up and gives a prophetic word? We need to start learning this so that we all accept when so-and-so gets up and he prophesies, you don't just look at him and say, what's that guy doing? So that we can accept the fact that Joel can stand up and start prophesying. Or Mary gets up and gives the tongues so that no one just looks down on them. We can't do that at this point because we don't have that unity. At this point, right? We have to be able to appreciate that. We say, oh, come on, we have to leave pretty soon. Yeah, we have to leave pretty soon. So we need to have that given to us. So let's say, so the word of wisdom is given to us. So go back, 1 Corinthians 12:1. It says that people are ignorant. So the reason why we don't have it in our own lives as a corporation, corporate church, or as an individual, that maybe you're not praying in tongues enough. Maybe you'll never get a vision and see Jesus or something, but you should get something. Yes. Being led by God. That, you know, I'm supposed to stand at this corner and somebody's going to come by that needs Jesus today. I'm here to bump some money. we have to have something spiritual, right? I remember Smith Wigglesworth used to say, you know what? God, somebody's going to die in this city. I heard that every 2 seconds, someone dies in the world. Every 2 seconds, someone dies, and some of them without Jesus. I don't know who counts all those people. Statistically speaking. So the word of wisdom deals with supernatural revelation from God concerning the divine purpose and the will of God of future events. The word of wisdom always deals with the future. So the word of wisdom, when you give a prophecy, thus says the Lord. He says right now, this is happening in your life. And if you begin to make yourself do this and do that, he's going to do this. Prophecy with revelation, the simple gift of prophecy, moves into revelation. Now you're dealing with another gift, which is the word of wisdom or word of knowledge. So anybody can prophesy in here. And we just have to learn 3 things. Learn to edify, build up people, and comfort people. How many like to comfort people? Yeah, you just like to say something. Now you can prophesy. You can jump up Sunday morning and say, thus said the Lord, I love you all. Woo! That's simple, right? Somebody might need that. And you can edify. God says, hey, thus said the Lord, you guys are the most wonderful people in the whole world. You got gifts going for you. Whatever God tells you, something good, but you have to understand, you got to edify people. When you're done, they should feel good. Yeah. Right? But if you said, thus said the Lord, tomorrow afternoon, I'm making a cake for everybody, then that would be John or some Billy and quick. But anyway, that would be tomorrow, right? That would be a word of wisdom. Understand what I'm talking about? I'm just using that just as an example. But say, for instance, on the Isle of Patmos, John, John the Revelation man, the revelator and gift of not, it's not revelations, revelation, right? So he wrote a book called that. And the Bible says on the Lord's day, he was in the Spirit. I wonder how he got there. You ever notice that? The prophet says, in the Spirit. Now, he was in the Spirit talking to God, but, you know, that day, at least for John, he must have been praying in the Holy Ghost. So, he was in the Spirit, and the Lord showed him these churches that existed in that area or that part of the world, and he told them the condition of those churches and how he was not pleased. And he showed them the spiritual condition of those churches. That was the word of knowledge. And he named the different churches. He had the names. He had the addresses, their fax number, and everything. Everything. He had everything at that time. And then he said, I'm not pleased with you. You got to change. And he begins to tell them what to do. And so that's the word of wisdom. Concerning God, the mind of God, and the purpose of God, and the plan of God, to tell them to make those changes. It's amazing. So, we said, in 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 9 to 12, we said the word of knowledge was given to warn of a plan of destruction. The prophet told the good king about some bad kings, or a bad king who was trying to kill him and destroy him, plan of attack. Don't you know, God could tell you something about, giving us direction when we pray, telling us stuff. I've had that happen to me. The Lord tells me stuff. I mean, he doesn't always tell me. I wish he'd tell me everything, but he can't tell you everything, right? But that wouldn't be faith. So he would say things. God can tell you things. Or you would want, this would be such a blessing if God told you something personally in your life, what to do. He knows about your condition. So we need to pray more. So number one, the reason why we don't see the gifts in the Spirit is in our own lives, it's because we neglected to do something. Number one, and that is to learn more about it so that we can make ourselves available to God. So if we don't believe it, how is he going to? He's not going to force you. And so, he wants us to learn. Very simple. And then, secondly, we need to ask God to help us to be more hungry. And we don't have to wait for him to force us to do anything. So we know exactly what to do. You can pick up your Bible every day and start reading on areas that you need to develop in, especially in these areas. Read about the book of Acts. See all the supernatural going on in there. And say, this is available to me. So read the Bible. Not only just pray in English about all your concerns, but pray in the Spirit concerning everybody else, concerning the church. Ephesians 6:18 says, praying in the Spirit for all saints. So if you have to be start concerning for the church, you have to be concerned about the people, the plan of God and everything, and start praying for the church. Father, I'm praying intercession, praying for the people of God and whatever's going on in people's lives. I want to help. Here I am, Lord. If you want to wake me up 3 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning, I'm ready. How many of us are ready tonight to do that? I am. I mean, before, we didn't mind before. We'd stay up all night and do other things. Yeah, and now we want to get, God will help us. So we said another thing there. And last time we said in 1 Kings 19:18, the word of knowledge was given to encourage a discouraged servant of God. So the word of knowledge is given to encourage somebody. So we see the word was given to that person in that scripture, actually the prophet there. Remember Ananias. Why don't we just close with that? There's let's go to Ananias. You know where Ananias talks about him? We'll close with this guy here. But I want you to also remember that in 2 Kings 5 and 26, we finished off with that. Last time we said that God revealed about someone's motive. Motive of, you know, they were hungry for money and stuff like that. So God can give you, you know, warn you about different things. Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. Let's finish off with this. It says here that Saul was breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord and desired letters from Damascus to synagogues if he had found any of this way, whether they were men, women, they might bring him on to Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came to Damascus. Suddenly there came shined round about him a light from heaven. He fell to the ground, earth, and heard a voice saying, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And he said, I'm Jesus, whom you persecute." Now, Jesus is revealing himself to this person. God can do whatever he wants to do. He can reveal himself to you or anybody. He can talk to you right now. I've had other people said, I saw Jesus. I personally haven't seen him physically like that, but I did see him inside my spirit. So, by the Holy Ghost showed me different things. So I am Jesus, whom you persecute. And trembling, he's astonished, the Lord said to him, "Ananias," "arise, go." "Go to the city," to Paul, "it shall be told what you must do." So he's telling him, "Go to the city." He's receiving a word there. Now he's getting instruction in a vision. And because Paul later says, "I saw a vision from Jesus." So he says that two more times after again this year. Then verse 10 says, there was a certain disciple, not an apostle, not a man in ministry, but a disciple, a follower of Jesus like you and I, and anybody who is certainly in the kingdom of God. And said to him, the Lord in a vision said, "Ananias," he said, "behold, I am here, Lord." The Lord said to him, "Arise, go to a street which is called Straight, inquire of a house of Judas for a man called Saul of Tarsus, behold, he prayeth. And he had seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in, putting his hands upon him that he might receive his sight." So that was a vision. And that vision was given for a plan of God for the future. In fact, it was given to Ananias, a disciple, to have this vision, to go and help this other person. He told him exactly what to do. That's a word of wisdom concerning something about the future. Then Ananias said, notice this. I want you to notice this very carefully because people think when you have a spiritual manifestation, you're going to just believe it right away. I've had them. I haven't had an encounter with Jesus. I went up into the spiritual realm, and when I came out of it, I think this never did happen to me. I got convinced this never happened to me. In fact, the devil told me, "You didn't even speak in tongues," and I said, "Oh yeah," and I actually almost believe it. That's how deceiving it is, because I'm back in my own natural self. Now, watch this over here. I can see this now. I never did before. He says, "Ananias, rise, go to the street, which is called Straight. Inquire the house of Judas, one called Saul of Tarsus. Behold, he prayed." He said, "In the vision, man named Ananias coming in, putting his hands upon him, might receive it." Ananias said, "Lord, I've heard many things about how evil this has done in Jerusalem. He had authority from the chief priests to bind all that call upon thy name." Notice that the Lord interrupted him. He said, But the Lord said unto him. So Ananias had all these alibis that why he shouldn't go and do this mission that Jesus was telling him about in this vision. Now, if you had a vision or if God gave you a revelation about things in your life, I'm sure you're questioning it. I know you question it. I know you, because when you're back to your everyday normal self, what you live like, you don't think like this. You don't even believe what happened to you. Your natural mind is not going to believe what happened. It's not going to believe it. Even if you got healed, sometimes you say, I don't believe how I got healed, if it's a gift of the Spirit. But if you're in the working, that's why people who believe God on their own faith, believing every day, little bit by little, and all of a sudden they get healed, those guys keep their healing generally more than anybody else. Rather than, man, I got healed instantly, bang, they got healed, and they think that's how they're going to heal for the rest of their life. They don't do anything, they don't read, they don't study, and the devil comes on, talks them out of it, and they get sick again and die. I've personally seen it, where someone at a Benny Hinn crusade in a meeting, that they carried that person in, Ruth, took him from our reserve took that person in and other people that I know, and they went and got to heal him, and then died. I've had it in my ministry where the Lord helped me minister to someone. They got healed from a devastating illness, and it disappeared completely when they had it all their lives, and all of a sudden it's gone. And went back to their own church, and they talked them out of it, saying that Roma guy, and they said, oh, you better not believe that. So in a matter of months, got it all back, and the other situation died. Because they didn't have build their own faith up. So the best way to be healed is to believe God. Because you still have to believe God, even if the gift of the Spirit you receive just like that, through someone else's faith. Because the gift of the Spirit is received through somebody else's faith because they're ministering to you and you received it. I talk to people, were you believing you're going to get healed? No. You can tell it wasn't their faith. It was my faith and the Spirit. And you leave them thinking, they think, oh, I'm going to have this forever. No, the devil comes by, talks you out of it. So this is why Ananias, the Lord says, no, go your way. He's a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he will have a great time. No, how great things he must what? Suffer. Listen to this. This was a special manifestation of the Spirit to talk to this guy. He's got a calling on his life, man. And God, Jesus shows up and tells him, this is what I want you to do. He's seeing Jesus. And this other man is confirming this, saying, I saw Jesus too. He told me what's going to happen in your life. Because Jesus told Ananias, I already talked to him about this. And he's talking to him. He says, guess what? After this, how many times did Paul have all these bad experiences, getting beaten up and put in prison, whipped, shipwreck, hunger and cold and nakedness in prisons and all that stuff? You have to have this kind of conversation with God. Otherwise, you'd quit the very first shipwreck. Right? You would have to. Okay, so I want to tell you something, what happened to me. When the Holy Spirit came into my room and he talked to me, he said, I'm calling you for the ministry. I said, Lord, I couldn't believe it. And this Holy Ghost came upon me, came all over me, because he knew what kind of problems I would have. He knew that I would have no resources, and nobody would believe me in the city. Nobody would come to me. No one would come close to me, help. He knew that I have to have all these experiences so that I would stick by it now for 27 years. I'd have to have this. And then the encounters I had with the Holy Spirit, the encounter when I went up into the spiritual realm, and the whole world disappeared on me, and I was in the very presence of Jesus. You would have to have these experiences. That's why I told our people in the ministry gifts, if you call to the ministry, you will have an encounter with God. You will have, there will be no, you know, doubt that, oh, I'm called. I remember George Bellows sat me down. He said to me, we want to know if you're called. I said, George, I'm called. I know I'm called. Why would I leave 8 years of schooling and come into the ministry and have very little salary or if none, and work for people that didn't, actually some of them didn't want me and spoke against me and told me, this is not you, this is not God. You'd have to have an experience with God. You would have to have, you'd be crazy to leave your career. It would be crazy. Now, this other experience, if you see in chapter 10, an angel came to a man called Peter. He told Peter, there's going to be three men coming at the door. And I don't want you to doubt anything I tell you to do. I want you to go with them. You know, it was about the plan of God. It had to do with the plan of God. And God's not going to just give you something. Oh yeah, I know where my old shorts I lost from swimming. He's not going to show you something that insignificant. It has to do with his plan.
Amen.
What he wants. Maybe somebody is dying somewhere and he's going to show you, I want you to go. I tell the Lord, you know, I mean, I'm praying about stuff now that I've never prayed about before. Talk to God. I'm getting ready to go up into a realm and to see things. And I'm being challenged more than ever in my whole life. And I believe the shape of my ministry is about to change.
Amen.
And you know, what's going to happen? You don't know what's going to happen, but you need to pray in tongues for me. If you would spend 4 minutes, 2 minutes in tongues for me. And then for this ministry, for all yourselves. Pray that the eyes of our understanding will be open. Pray that God would supernaturally bring people. That's why, you know, I believe that people who are drawn to this church is because God brought them here for a reason. Anybody that I talk to, God brought them here. And is stuck here because you're not going to move because something natural happened. You said, no, God brought me here. Ernie tried to get away so many times. He ran away. Shoes or no shoes. God brought him back. He tried to leave. This guy had to try to leave. And he almost died. I'm serious about it. Glenn, my friend Glenn, he's now a pastor. He left the ministry. He left everything. And he almost died. I had to go with Pastor Ken to go to his bedside and pray over him because he almost died. Because he said no. Brother Higgins said, every time I said no to God, I had a heart attack and then something bad happened to me and I had to get back to the Lord. And I remember that Brother Higgins was saying, you know, one time in my church, I had the best salary ever. People getting saved every week. People getting born again every week. But on the inside of me, I just knew that God, you know, why am I so dissatisfied? God says to him, because I never called you to be a pastor. I want you to move out in another area. Now he has to say no to the best salary, the best stuff ever. But God brought him into another place. And he said, I feel sorry for people who've never walked by faith. Praise God. Let's go ahead and close, man. We went too far. I was just trying to get started here. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
The word of God is good. Everybody say the word.
Word.
Is good.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Amen?
Amen.
Let's go ahead and pray in the name of Jesus. Father, we want to thank you for the gifts of the Spirit. We desire the gifts to work in our lives. We want to be hungry. We're going to read the word. We're not going to try to word. We're just going to read the word. Because you said that we must meditate on it day and night. And we cannot meditate on something if we don't read it. We can't see it if we don't look at it. So we're going to meditate on the word. And we're going to push everything aside that's been hindering us and slowing us down, as Hebrews 12 says, that everything, we must put off every encumbrance that slows us down or tries to stop us. And we want to run the race that's set before us. And we want to be real pleasing. People's lives are on the line because of us. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we're gonna pray for one another. We're gonna have eyes of love and grace for each other. We're gonna be thankful for one another. And we're gonna believe that there's people outside of these walls that are coming. We're gonna call them in. Oh, our relatives and friends need to be here. Our family needs to be here. And he's trying to stop us and hinder us in our way to discourage us. But we're going to encourage ourselves and recover all, just like David did when the devil tried to steal his family and all his stuff. And Lord God, we're going to look at the devil in the eye, just as Moses looked at Pharaoh right in the eye and said, we're not budging, we're not living without our children. We are going to go and worship God together. Thank you, Lord. And we're praying for our families right now. I know my family and everybody's family has been challenged with loved ones. And we thank you. We join hands together. We do not bring any judgment on anybody. We're not going to say anything else. But, Father, we're trusting you to bring in the family member, to bring in them. And we're going to stand strong. You said the home of the righteous are blessed. You said the home of the righteous are delivered. Thank you, Lord. You said even the captive of the wicked man shall be delivered. So we pray and believe God for that. You said acquaint thyself with God and then you shall have peace. And even in your prayer, because you are a righteous man, you will deliver the sinner. So thank you. So we're trusting you. So, Father, we make a commitment to get hungry. We get a commitment, Lord God, to pray and believe and to walk in love and to be faithful and to honor you in our lives and everything we do. So we're ready for the gifts of the Spirit. We're ready, Lord. We want to see the things that we need to see because of the gifts. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Fill us again with a fresh anointing. Fill us again with a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit. So we give you praise. We thank you. In the name of Jesus, someone's knees are being healed right now. Two knees. In the name of Jesus. Be healed. In your kneecap. In your knees. In Jesus' name. Arthritis must go. Sickness must go. Symptoms of flu must go right now. In the name of Jesus. Depression must go in the name of Jesus. Attacks on the enemy must go in Jesus' name. We stop that. We resist that attack in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can you praise him for just a little bit? Can you just praise him and thank him? Oh, Lord, we want a fresh anointing, a fresh encounter with you. We cannot live without you. Go ahead and sing in the Spirit. Praise him. Thank him. Prophesy over your life. Ora ma sanda kasi. We're asking for the gifts of faith to operate in our lives. The gift of faith to operate in our life, to believe things are possible. Oh, Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I want to just have a word of knowledge, word of wisdom. Came out of my own mind, though. Pastor Ken's going Friday